And then, okay, so in order to, you know, keep our ethics really well, they usually at this point give some suggestions, particularly to monastic people, like, you know, not to do business unless you have debts. And this is a real difficult thing, you know, because actually monastics shouldn't be doing business. But then the way the society is, it's become extremely difficult. Yeah? It's become extremely difficult. And you look even in old Tibet and the monasteries, you know, this doesn't mean every person in the monastery did business, but the monasteries themselves did business, and they owned land and they sold things and stuff like that. And so, you know, kind of actual way, better not to do, but then you have to see what's happening, you know, in the society and how you can survive. And see, this is part of the degenerate time. Yeah? I mean, because it doesn't look real good when monastics go and do business and they're bargaining and wheeling and dealing and everything like that. And yet, for example, I mean, I've known many Westerners, they take vows and then, you know, there's no system of support for monastics established in the West like there is in Thailand or China. And so the people have no choice but to go out and get a job and work, you know, downtown or, you know, here, there, wherever. And so I think it's something that as Dharma develops in the West, it's something to think about, that if we want to, you know, keep the monastic tradition alive in as pure a fashion as we can, to try and set up ways so that people don't have to do business and don't have to, you know, put on lay clothes and grow their hair out and go downtown and work. Because it's hard. Yeah, so it's something to think about. And also, you know, not to seek sponsors out of greed. So, you know, because monastics very often, you know, are seeking sponsors. And it's a really touchy one if you try and get sponsors and your mind's being really greedy and manipulative and wanting more and not being satisfied. And so these are the kinds of things that kind of make ethics deteriorate. And then just kind of some general advice for all of us. To help us have good ethics is to have the minimal number of possessions. In other words, not have our house chock-a-block full of things. Why? Because the fewer things we have, the less things we need to worry about. Yeah? And so it is true, we live in a very complicated society. I mean, at the time of the Buddha, you didn't need a computer and a car and, you know, and a telephone. They didn't even have them, so of course you didn't need them. Yeah. Nowadays, I mean, kind of almost just to live in the society, these are things that you need. But the thing is, what are things that we need just to function in a normal way with a good motivation? And what are things that we don't need that we're accumulating because we want more and better? Yeah, because the fuller our house is with things, you know, because we want more and we want better and we want this and we want that, we have to upgrade this and do this, blah, 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 you know, then our life becomes just incredibly complicated. Yeah, so as much as you can simplify your life, you know, in terms of possessions, it just makes your ethical conduct that much easier and your life that much easier, actually. In a similar way, is as much as you can simplify your social life. Now, I'm not telling people to cut off all relationships and, you know, go home every night and lock yourself in your room and pretend it's a cave. You know, I'm not encouraging this. But the mind that always has to keep busy, Yeah, the mind that, you know, has to go to this party and has to see this person, has to talk to this person, has to socialize here and has to socialize there, want to go see this movie and have to go see that dance and have to see this theater performance and this concert and this lecture. You know? I mean, our life just becomes incredibly complicated. And so as much as you can kind of make your life simple, and select out the things that are really important for you, then you just have less stress. Yeah? And as a result, your ethical conduct improves. Yeah? So simple life, it's really something, you know, to think about, especially in American society. And so I think one real important way to have a simple life, we talked about this before, is not have too much contact with the media. Because our mind is so swayed by the media, so swayed. Yeah. So just not to, you know, this is a discipline in itself. Can you imagine the Buddha coming now, making monastic vows? You know, you can only read the front page of the newspaper. You can't read anything else. You can watch 15 minutes of news and nothing, you know. Kind of things just to make sure that the life stays simple. Yeah. Okay. Just basically to have the possessions that we need. Again, I'm not saying go on deprivation, but just have what you need and get rid of everything else. And you have, you know, maintain your friendships and things, but not, you know, don't have to be the socialite of Seattle. You know, keep some quiet time. kind of, and you, when you do get things, you don't have to get the best quality of stuff. You know, you can get what's adequate. You don't need the absolute best quality of everything. And you know, kind of keep the place where you live neat and clean without, you know, tons of junk all around. I know I sound like your mother. But my teachers told us this, you know. And I think there's a lot of value in it. Yeah? I mean, I just know for myself that when I simplify my life and when I keep the place I live in relatively neat and tidy, it affects my mind. Yeah, it just makes life a whole lot easier. One thing I'm contemplating is something that will make my phone always busy. Because that would be, I'm joking. The phone I find very distracting. I think maybe answering machines are a good way to get around that. But, yeah, and so just to basically cultivate an attitude of contentment. Yeah, that's the basic thing, you know, to just help us be happy human beings as well as to keep good ethics, is to cultivate contentment. And just what I have is good enough. It's okay. And then, there's the next outline is the disadvantages of not observing ethics. Okay? So the disadvantages of not observing them is that you don't get all the benefits from observing them, you know. And plus, your life just becomes a mess. Yeah? I mean, you look at, in the newspaper, of all these people, you know, I mean, these big important people and their careers crash, you know. And so much of it is just because of basic ethical violations. Yeah? And so, you know, even if you don't consider future lives, bad ethics just make a disaster of our life this lifetime. Creates so much confusion. I talked to one man a few days ago, and it was funny. It was a place I had just been going over karma and talking about the 10 non-virtues and all. And we were talking later, and he said, you know, because he seemed real restless, and he said, you know, kind of, I know what it was. I asked him how his girlfriend was, and he said, oh, yeah, well, our relationship isn't going well because actually, you know, I went off with another woman, and it happened just like you said in the teachings, you know. It's like, you said it was disadvantageous because it made a mess in your life, and you're right. You know? And it's like, you know, his life has been a mess for the last 6 months, and it, you know, just because of this thing, you know, and he owns it, and he says it was his own fault. But you can just see how much suffering he's having, let alone his girlfriend and, you know, everybody else involved. So, you know, just in things like this, that you can look around and see that when we don't keep good ethics, you know, we just, our minds and our lives fall in disarray, and then we cause a lot of harm to others, and then we feel guilty about it. So, you know, that's how we generate guilt, because we act negatively. So one way to get rid of guilt is to, you know, kind of abandon the 10 destructive actions. And then even if we practice Tantra without any kind of basic foundations in ethics, our practice isn't going to get anywhere. You know? So even if you kind of grab for something high and wonderful and, you know, the highest teachings, you know, I'm going to meditate on bliss and void, I'm going to meditate on Dzogchen, I'm meditating on Mahamudra, you know. But if we can't kind of do the basic practice, it's kind of as much as we force and squeeze our mind to gain some realizations, it's going to be real difficult. Yeah. The mind won't be fertile. So the whole conclusion is like when we see the benefits of keeping ethics and we see the disadvantages of not doing it, then it becomes something that we want to do, not something that we have to do or something the teacher said you should do or something the Buddha said you ought to do because otherwise you're not going to be good or you won't get realizations or, you know, I mean, this kind of thing, but just to really look at the situation clearly and say, well, this happens if I do it and this happens if I don't. So what's really good for me? You know, and what's really good for the society? And so draw your own conclusion. Okay? And that's what's real important in all these teachings that are given, is that you really go home and think about them and come to your own conclusion. Because the teachings aren't shoulds and ought tos and you'd betters and this kind of thing. But they're things for you to contemplate so you can gain your own understanding. Because it's only by understanding that then our practice becomes kind of homey and tasty and, you know,